With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sam Fortier covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post, so let's start with him. Sam, let's begin with this GM search. What's the latest right now? What can you tell us?
Yeah, so they have five candidates, including San Francisco 49ers VP of personnel, Martin Mayhew, Chargers, same position, JoJo Wooden, Marty Herney, who worked with Ron in Carolina. So you have five candidates. Mayhew interviewed on Saturday. It's unclear when those other interviews will be. So obviously, Ron Rivera and team owner Dan Snyder keeping things under wraps. But we know five candidates, and several of them have interviewed.
Sam, we're trying to figure out and make kind of heads or tails of this. What, there's another guy in Washington's front office, Eric Stokes, that is being interviewed, but Kyle Smith is not. It's just kind of hard for us to wrap our head around. What does this mean for Kyle Smith specifically?
Yeah, I think that's unclear as of yet, but it is, you know, it is just on its face looking outside in, a weird sort of deal, right? Because this is a guy that obviously reports to Kyle Smith. Kyle Smith was seen, I think, you know, even entering the draft, Ron Rivera said a lot of good things about him. When asked about him, I think, maybe towards the end of the season, or hey, how is his department? Developed or performed? I think obviously you saw Ron Rivera a shift in tone. It's kind of unclear, sort of, you know, what, if anything, happened, but I think he was obviously much less effusive in his praise. So it's sort of unclear, but what Kyle Smith's future is. But obviously, I don't think he's a top contender for this job, as the interviews would tell you.
We spent a lot of time talking Alex Smith in the last hour, more than we planned on, frankly, and took a bunch of calls from people on his future. What's your take on whether or not Smith's going to want to keep playing after last night's 60 Minutes interview?
Well, I mean, I think you tweeted out that quote, too, about how this, you know, did nothing but embolden him to feel like he could play. That doesn't sound like a guy that's getting ready to walk away from the game. Obviously, he said he'll take a little bit more time to evaluate it with his wife, Elizabeth, and his children. But, I mean, a guy that can go through what he did and come back, I mean, you can't really put anything out of his reach, right? I think for what he did this year, and obviously it's unfortunate the way it ended, and I think that the way the season ended sort of shows you that I think a lot of teams would be skeptical to take a chance on him, but it doesn't sound like he's going to want to walk away after that 60-minute interview.
Master Samwise Gamgee, how real is this Deshaun Watson thing? And to me, there's no price that's too big for me to win the bidding war. If it's real, I'm winning it. I'll give them whoever they want, as many draft picks as they want. I will outbid the competition. How real is it?
I mean, I'm honestly still not convinced that they're going to trade him. I mean, you know, he's signed for a bunch more years. You know, he doesn't have a ton of leverage. Obviously, ESPN has reported what it has, and a lot of people believe Deshaun Watson has played his final snap, and maybe that's true. I mean, if he's moved, you're right. I think Washington should should go all in, because, I mean, this is a position that they really haven't had stability at in you know, for the better part of two decades outside, I think probably you'd argue, the Kirk Cousins years for a couple of years. But, like, yeah, I mean, when you have a chance to get a guy like this, you want to go all in. But I'm still not 100% convinced that they're going to, you know, get the package or move on from him in a way that I think, you know, certainly other outlets are reporting like they will.
Sam, keep up the great work. We'll read your work in the Post. Thank you, buddy.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Be well. Let's talk some hoops. Fred Katz covers the Wizards for The Athletic. He does an awesome job, and really, really happy to have you back on the show, Fred. It has been too long, buddy. But are the Wizards ever going to play another game again?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you when they're going to play next. It's been five straight. That is a great question, and I think the only person who could answer it is probably somebody who can tell the future.
Stick aside, though. I mean, catch people up on what's going on, because the news is they've had another game today postponed. No.
Yeah. So they've been ravaged right now by COVID cases, and they have a number of players right now in the league's health and safety protocols, both because of positive tests and because of contact tracing. They just had another game postponed today. So Wednesday's game that was supposed to be in Charlotte is now postponed until a later date. That's five consecutive games that they've missed. The next game on the schedule right now is Friday. That's supposed to be in Milwaukee. But, you know, who knows? The league rules say you need a minimum of eight guys. And if you can field eight guys, then you play the game. And we saw a game a couple of weeks ago where Philadelphia had seven guys. They had to activate an injured player, Mike Scott, in order just to play that game. And they were playing rookies. Like, they were playing Tyrese Maxey 45 minutes, and they played some other guys in the 40s, and they just had to run them out there, and it wasn't a real-looking roster. And it was by no conversational definition a legit game, but it counted in the standings, and the league made them play. So there is potentially a point where, because they had positive tests, where maybe the Wizards end up getting to eight, and maybe they end up having to play with only eight or nine or ten guys, and the roster construction might look funky, and they might have to play. But it hasn't happened yet. I don't know if Friday's game is going to happen. I think, you know, the league has basically said they if they postpone them, they do it 2 days out, so the teams don't have to travel into town for no reason. But we'll see,
Fred.
We'll see.
Sorry, buddy. Didn't mean to cut you off there. James Harden looked like me when he showed up in Houston. He was out of shape and gross and stopped trying, and it was awful. And he got a billion picks and a bunch of players moved. What would Bradley Beal get if he were traded?
A lot. A lot. I mean, I think the difference – obviously, Harden's a former MVP and is a higher-profile player than Beal. The difference is I think there actually might be a little bit more of a market – if they say, let's say they decided to trade Beal at the deadline, or even maybe right at the start of free agency next summer, it's plausible there could be a little bit more of a market, just because next year's free agency class is pretty weak now, and there are a lot of teams who have salary cap space, which they're going to be looking to fill. You know, teams were really, really, really trying to not commit money to the 21-22 season because Giannis was going to be a free agent. Rudy Gobert was going to be a free agent. Paul George was going to be a free agent. All those guys extended with their teams. You've seen a lot of extensions. And now a lot of the top guys in the 21 offseason are actually guys who are restricted, and they're going to be a little bit tougher to resign because they're not unrestricted free agents. So I think you could see a market with tons of teams going after a guy like Beal, especially with the way that he's played this year. You know, if you're talking to Golden State, you want that Minnesota pick they have. You want James Wiseman, and you want more. If you're talking to Miami, you're not even picking up the phone if they're not talking about Hero and Duncan Robinson and whatever else that they could possibly give up, you know, those distant picks and maybe some other stuff. I mean, you are really in a position to ask for the house. It's not just Harden getting a ton that sets a baseline. It's also Drew Holiday getting five picks when he got traded over the offseason. And you could even reach back to the Paul George trade, even though that was obvious. There were obviously extenuating circumstances there. I mean, Bradley Beal is a really excellent player. He has knocked out. The Wizards don't want to trade him. I don't assume something is around the corner. But, you know, if we're having the hypothetical conversation about what's he worth, I mean, he is going to be, or is, an incredibly highly valued guy in the league right now.
Fred, we will be checking you out in The Athletic. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
He's worth a follow on Twitter at Fred Katz, KATZ, if you like the Wiz. Let's talk some hockey. Mike Vogel does such a great job breaking the caps down for the Washington Capitals entities, and of course, a guy that we like having on during the season to get to the bottom of all things Capitals. Vogues, I want to start with how I should feel. 5 points out of a possible six through three games. Handled their business with 6-4-2-1 wins against the Sabres. Always tough to lose to the Penguins, but you get a point there. How should we feel through three with a brand new staff under Peter Laviolette?
Yeah, I think you should feel pretty good, Grant. When you consider, you know, tough drop for the opener was 7 p.m. on Thursday night. And when they walked off the ice yesterday, it was a few minutes before 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. When you do the math there, that's a shade under 68 hours in which they played three hockey games. And they came away with 5 out of 6 points under a new coach with no preseason tune-ups and a shortened training camp. So, you know, and when you look back at the game yesterday itself, you're an Alex Ovechkin double post or a shootout goal away from 6 out of 6 points. So, yeah, I think, you know, going into the training camp two weeks ago today was the first time these guys were on the ice together. So I think, you know, when you put all that together, if someone would have told you 2 weeks ago you'd get 5 out of 6 in those first three games, you certainly would have taken it.
Folks, I'm not trying to overreact to a small sample, but I am a panicked Peter. The penalties, man. Is this a product of, hey, as you just said, we don't have a lot of time on the ice. Everybody's maybe a step slow or you know, the skates don't feel as they will maybe in a couple weeks, et cetera. Or is this kind of a carryover from last year where they just committed a lot of penalties and maybe that's who they are?
I think right now, Danny, I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's there's some adjustments to the system. There's some adjustments to playing with different guys. There's probably, you know, a little bit of slowness when those penalties tend to crop up. And, you know, fortunately for them, they've got one of the best penalty-killing outfits in the league from last season that seems to have carried over thus far this season. But you know what? They know it, too. They, you know, when you talk to these guys after games, they know that they've got another level, another gear that they can get to, and they know that one of the major things right now is that they cannot continue to keep taking 4, 5, 6 penalties a night. That'll bite you in any league, really, but especially this year. In this, they realize that's definitely got to be curtailed and curtailed fairly soon.
Mike Vogel, WashingtonCaps.com. Vogues, the goaltending situation, a little bit of a two-parter for you here. First, do we know who's going tomorrow night at 7 against the Penguins between Vanecek and Samsonov? And then secondly, what are your thoughts on those guys? Vanecek got his first win. Sammy's been leaky, you know, big turnover in that one goal loss yesterday.
Yeah, Peter was asked that question today, and he wouldn't commit to either guy. He said it would kind of be, you know, again, given the structure of the season, it's a little different than a typical season. And I'm not sure that even teams that have a tried and true number one will lean on that guy as much as they would over a more spread out 82-game season. So I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of 1A and 1B in a lot of places. And I think certainly Washington is going to be one of those places, at least until one of these guys asserts himself as a clear number one. Vanecek looked great, but that's the entirety of his NHL career and sample size right now. Like you say, there were, you know, a couple of problems. One of his issues is he doesn't play the puck. I think, you know, here in Washington, we were spoiled by a decade plus of watching Brayden Holtby, who was, you know, that was a really strong part of his game. He was extremely good at playing the puck, and you know, that's something that certainly needs work, I think, in both of these guys' games. You know, they come from Europe. There's a little bit of a different approach. Typically, some of those European goaltenders need a little work in that regard. But, you know, the other thing to look at with these two guys is when you look at their body of work, and it's, you know, given their youth, it's an abbreviated body of work thus far. But their pro resumes, that neither one of these guys has a record of carrying the mail, so to speak, where they've, you know, shouldered a 50 or 60 game goaltending load in any season. I think the career high for both of these guys is upper 30s, maybe low 40s. So my expectation is we may wind up seeing a fairly routine
split. But I think, you know, ultimately it's going to be up to the two of those guys. The coach is always going to go with the guy that gives him the best chance to win. So I would say whomever sort of grabs the reins and makes the most of the opportunity is going to be the guy. I would say about Samsonov, well, he did give up four goals in that opening night game against Buffalo. You know, sometimes it's when you make saves and when you give up goals. And the Caps had a three-goal lead in the second period of that game, but twice in the third, Buffalo pulled it within a goal. He never gave up the tying goal. Sometimes that's the backbreaker. If you can avoid doing that, you know, your numbers may not look great at the end of the day, but that W column will hold up.
Mike Vogel at Vogue's Caps. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for hopping on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show. And that is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. Let's go back to the weekend in the NFL that was. Look back at the four games we watched this past weekend and take some quarterback inventory on who the stock went up on, who the stock went down on. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught. Tyreek Hill stays in bounds. The same play that they closed the game at against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland. And Chad Henne out of the bullpen. Incredible job on a 3rd-and-14 scramble for 15. They called 13.5. Comes back on a roll to the right side, deking Cleveland into thinking they were going to run the clock. And they find Tyreek Hill on the right flat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to advance in the AFC playoffs.
Chiefs Radio Network yesterday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The first of two Sunday games. Packers, Bills, Chiefs. Bucks keep their seasons alive. Green Bay and Tampa, Buffalo and Kansas City, your conference finals matchups for this Sunday. Should be a great day of football. What else can you say about Andy Reid, the reigning Super Bowl champion head coach? Twice yesterday going for fourth downs when maybe one or two or three other coaches in the league would have, maybe the first time, and I don't think any coach in the league would have gone for the second of those fourth downs. Even the guys, like, they call Ron Rivera Riverboat, no chance he's doing that. Sean Payton oftentimes does quirky things where he's kicking onside kicks and trying to outwit the opponent. Danny, on your own side of the field, where the Browns either have to march the length of the field after a punt or have 50 yards to go if you don't get it to try to win the game down by five, Andy Reid and Andy Reid alone goes for that fourth down. And by the way, on fourth and a foot, out of the gun, mm-hmm. Empty with no backs in the backfield. So there is no shotgun handoff straight ahead. This is not like quarterback draw stuff. Just sneak it right up the middle. empty, spread, wide. Imagine how badly he would have gotten eviscerated by all of the national and local media, I'm sure, in Kansas City, if they don't get that and then the Browns score and win that game. And you know what he thought right before that play? I don't care about that.
Yeah.
This is what works for us. I'm putting the ball in Tyreek Hill's hand. And he had Chad Henne make the throw.
Which team has the ball? My team has the ball. I'm not giving it back. This is how coaches should think of it. I really believe that. And you know, people are starting to wake up to this. But the idea of voluntarily relinquishing possession should be more far closer to a last resort than it should be the norm. Now, what that means is, if you're 4th and 10 at your own 20, you don't go for that. Unless, you know, it's 2 minutes left and you got no other possessions, whatever. If you're 4th and 7 from your own 33, you don't go for that. But the default setting should absolutely be, in this era of offense, to maintain possession of the football. To me, punting the ball away is very similar to a turnover. I would almost never relinquish the football voluntarily. You'd have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. Andy Reid feels that way, and it's easy to feel that way, by the way, when you got an offense that's that good. But that's the right call. The going for it with when Chad Henne comes in ice cold, hasn't played in a decade, basically. Yep, of course you go for that. And by the way, of course you ran a pitch to the outside with a key block in there to make sure that Williams could reach the edge. Whoa, that was masterful. And of course you go for that fake nothing play out of the shotgun, right? What I thought they were going to do is maybe send someone in motion, then have Henne get up there and bark signals one more time, try to bob his head a couple times, see if they could draw him off. Just such a brilliant play fake, such a brilliant design. Everything about it was so good. But Andy Reid realizes, we win the game if we keep the football. So I'm going to go win the game because I'm going to keep the football.
It just reads like any other play in the game book. 4th and 1 from their own 48, 1:14 to play, shotgun, Chad Henne, pass short right to T. Hill, to the Cleveland 47 for 5 yards, first down, tackled by Stewart. What a moment, and just what a call. What I want is stones rewarded. I want when a coach does something that goes so far against the grain that they know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to get crushed. And the only way or reason I think that Andy Reid feels good enough to do that is because you got a Super Bowl under your belt from last year. I mean, honestly, if you don't already have a trophy in the mantle, I'm not sure if you make that call. I don't want to say this whole season's house money, but that is a we won last year, and if it doesn't work out, I get to point to that to anybody that asks me any questions about it. Whether that's a columnist in town or a general manager or a team owner, when they come to me and say, Andy, what the hell were you thinking? I say, I'm not really sure, but I did some of those things last year when we won a Super Bowl. Get over yourself.
Yeah, you weren't bothered last year when it worked.
But that was the moment of the weekend. It was great. But I thought that would be a good launching point into discussing the quarterback play from these games. So let's go through each quarterback and kind of work our way through the eight of them that performed this weekend. I actually thought Jared Goff was admirable. He's not healthy. He's got pins in his thumb.
Yeah.
If you would have told me before the game he's going to be 21 of 27 for a 174 and a touchdown, I would have taken that. Because if you do that and you run the ball the way that they did, just shy of 100 yards with Cam Akers and a touchdown, and you're around 20 points, that's the formula for this offense with an injured quarterback. Now, a la Washington against Tampa Bay, your defense has to be your defense. The Rams, unlike Washington, did have the best defense in the league, did have an elite defense, did take games over with Aaron Donald, do have a defensive player of the year. He was banged up. He had one tackle and nothing else, didn't play a whole lot. They didn't get enough pressure on Aaron Rodgers. They allowed the Packers to run all over them for 168 yards. I think net, they were actually over a 180 in the game, and they averaged almost 7 yards per play. So they lost that game on defense, which is how they got there. But it was Goff good? No, he wasn't particularly good. It was Sean McVay holding your hand, getting you to a game-managing, pedestrian performance that no one's going to scream at you for. But that's as good as it was going to be yesterday in that environment, in the cold, against the Packers, with your thumb probably barking from when you got off the bus.
So I think Green Bay thought like I did, in the sense that I don't believe Goff can drive the football. In this weather, with that thumb, without Cooper Kupp, with Reynolds and Van Jefferson basically as his second and third targets, and Robert Woods, as good as he is, I know he caught a long one against Washington, but he's not a deep guy. He's working that, you know,
possession
10 yards
threat.
And in special, and he's great at it, by the way. I love him. I wish we had him. But I don't believe Green Bay said, or I believe Green Bay said, you are not going over the top on us, and we don't think you can drive the football down the field. And he hit a couple throws that I think surprised everybody. Now, again, I'm not talking about bombs. There was a 28-yarder to Josh Reynolds in there. I think he threw a strike to Van Jefferson in traffic. And he made a couple throws that actually impressed me. So, you know, 21 for 27 for $174 doesn't blow your skirt up. But under the circumstances, I came away pretty impressed with Jared Goff. And as you know, nobody's lower on him than me.
Well, that has been disputed on the show
today. I thought it was you, maybe. Man,
one of our callers. You know, as a grading on a curve, I would give him basically a C because, again, I thought he was going to stink. And normally he's not particularly good, now he's hurt and he's playing in the cold. This could be a nightmare. And it just wasn't.
Yeah, I thought Benny Hill music, you know, like ball coming out of his hands, et cetera.
What about hold music, like when you call a company and they put you on hold for a while?
Do we have a sample of that?
Is that this?
Oh.
What about Jeopardy? What about like a game show? Do you hear a game show while you're writing an answer and waiting to find out if you're right for like the last question?
It's like the quiz show where everybody's like pondering it, the Christian pondering it, and they're wondering.
But it is the section of the show, see Final Jeopardy, where now we separate the winner from the loser.
That's right.
It's like, before we go to our final break of the day, our last question. A reminder, this is worth 5 times the points of the previous round. The person who gets this question will be on to the championship round next Thursday. Here's your question. And then while they're writing, they listen to this. Aaron Rodgers yesterday, he is the MVP of the National Football League this year over Pat Mahomes for sure. How about 296 in a pair for him through the air yesterday? 108 rating to go with 23 of 36. I thought he put on an absolute clinic.
Another touchdown dropped by Alan Lazard. Ended up the second time. Lazard, of course, gets himself a TD. But he's masterful. He's splendid. Aaron Rodgers is incredible. He is absolutely incredible. The ease, the release, you don't have to square up the way that every mortal does. Like, he and Pat Mahomes have those off-angle, odd, little, you know, sort of flick throws that can go 40, 50 yards in the air. And he's done that as good as anybody for his entire career. That release is perfect. He's basically got Marino's release with more athleticism. He is just absolutely splendid. And it was a joy to watch, quite frankly, against a great defense, even without Aaron Donald being himself and mostly out of that game. That Rams defense is really good, and it would have shoved it on a lot of people. And Aaron Rodgers made them look like just a pedestrian 17th-ranked group that was here playing out the string in Week 14. He is amazing.
But what he's doing this year, too, when you compare him to some of the other great quarterbacks in the league statistically this season and the help that they had, Davante Adams might be the best wideout in football.
I think he is.
Understood. Take him out of the equation, and that isn't to say that you know he's just gone, but you need more than a weapon, right? What else do you have? It's Alan Lazard, who's as 50-50 catching the ball as Rod Gardner. It's Equanimous St. Brown.
Synonym St. Brown.
Synonym St. Brown.
Simmerman St. Brown.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Matt Valdez-Scantling.
Who's one of the producers for the Junkies. Like, what are we doing? And they opted to their, you know, this is not a credit to them. They opted not to take a wide receiver multiple times over in the draft, and they could have easily done that.
Which I still think is outrageous.
The point of the dude's story is that Aaron Rodgers, yes, Aaron Jones is awesome and Davante Adams is great. I'm not saying he doesn't have any talent around him. Those are wonderful players. But it's not a coincidence that, like, guys that leave there don't do anything after the fact, a la Brady back in the day with, you know, Deion Branch and David Patton and those types in New England. There is something to be said for Robert Tonyan, who had 11 catches his whole career and 12 touchdowns this year. Those guys come on with guys like Aaron Rodgers. All right, next game, Ravens and the Bills. Maybe we should save this, actually, because I want to get into Lamar Jackson in detail. The narrative on him now is going to be choker,
yeah,
that he can't play in the playoffs. I don't really understand that at all. Then again, I'm the type of person that doesn't believe in those types of big picture, over-the-top, first take on ESPN, hot takey, ridiculous assertions. But I do think that Lamar Jackson's problems today are the same as Lamar Jackson's problems as when he took over. We can get into those next, though, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
What's up, guys? Danny Ruya here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I'm a Ted Britt guy. I can prove it to you. Multi-time Ted Britt customer right here. That's right. Many years of Ted Britt customer service and great customer care. They're the best at what they do, and they've been doing this for more than 60 years, okay? Here's what's going on right now. This is a pretty good deal. Check this out. Never been a better time to buy from Ted Britt Ford than their New Year's sale. So take advantage of 0% financing for 60 months on all 2020 models that are remaining. Okay, that's every one of them. So, some examples. How about an F-150? Okay, drive an F-150 for $13,000 below the MSRP. And you get that 60% financing, you know what I'm talking about, that whole deal, 60%, or 60 months rather, 0% financing. That's pretty awesome. How about $10,000 off the MSRP on a 2020 Explorer? And this is an extra little bonus, 0% financing for 72 months on that bad Jackson. $6,000 off the MSRP on 2020 Ranger trucks. $8,000 off the MSRP on 2020 Mustangs. You get the point of the dude's story. They will take care of you every day. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in and the best customer care in town. This is the best buying experience. Go hit up Ted Britt Ford and tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're going back through the game Saturday and Sunday, looking at the quarterback performances. What a win or loss means for the resumes, legacies of these passers. So Lamar Jackson, the Ravens falling to 1-3 in his time as their starting quarterback over the last 4 years now in the playoffs. And I should say the 3 years over three postseasons in the playoffs. Finally got that elusive win last week. Jackson, 14 completions, 162 yards, a pick six in this game. Look, it was ugly. There's just no denying that. He had his fewest rushing yards in this game and his lowest passer rating of the season in this game. Danny, the idea that he can't win in the playoffs is ridiculous because they won last week, number one, but also because they're playing good football teams, and you lose sometimes against good football teams. I just don't buy the logic. What I buy, though, is this, and I've always felt this way. You know this about me. I love watching the guy. I said last week he's one of the most electrifying players I've ever seen in my life. He's one of the top three must-see guys in the league. And when the Ravens are playing on primetime, I get excited because he just does things that other people can't do. And only Michael Vick in my life can do a lot of what Lamar Jackson is able to do. That's the list, those two guys. Having said that, from the first day that they implemented him in as the starter, based on what I had seen from him at Louisville and the limited amount I knew about him, my thought was, if they have to throw to win from the pocket, I'm not sure they're going to be able to. And he's going to have to basically grow and change my opinion on that. And you just haven't seen it. Now, there are a lot of smart people that use a lot of numbers to justify that Lamar Jackson is actually really good throwing from the pocket. Warren Sharp's a huge proponent of his, as an example, who I love. Most of those people, though, decided before they'd ever seen him that he was great from the pocket, and I think are kind of just justifying what they've always thought, in my opinion. But the bottom line to me is, you tell me, before a Ravens game, what he's going to be able to do on the ground and how necessary it's going to be to throw the ball traditionally, and I'll tell you if they win or not. And I've always felt that way about him, and here we are. And he's just going to have to prove me and a lot of people wrong by going out there one day and, you know, in a big spot and throwing 32 of 44 for 329 yards and not being able to run all over the place. But if you're able to do that, they can win. If you keep him in the pocket, you keep him from running, you keep him from moving the chains with his feet, I just haven't seen it, and I'm still waiting.
So there are two conversations I actually think about this. Number one is, can Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens win a game in which you've got to drop back and throw it, as they did their loss to Tennessee, 59 times? I'd say no to that, to be honest with you. I don't think that's the design. I don't think many teams would be good that way, but I think especially not that one, right? That is built on an unbelievable running attack that features as dynamic a guy as there is in the sport. So I think that is 100% correct. The thing that I don't think is correct is this idea that Baltimore couldn't possibly win three straight postseason games with a formula that wins them 11, 12, 13, 14 regular season games. I actually think it's very possible. If this defense steps up and stops Derrick Henry last year, it's a different ballgame, right? As Lamar Jackson ran for 143 yards in that game. If this past week, if there's no pick six, now Lamar's responsible for that, obviously, or if Justin Tucker makes a couple field goals, they could be in the AFC title game. I think the first conversation that I think I agree with you on spills into the second, where someone says, it's not possible. I just think we get it. We need to always look for to expand our horizon and get outside the box a little bit. And here's what I mean by that. If you told me an accurate passer that's maybe the best goal line back in the sport would be the MVP of a 15-1 team, rushing for 600 yards, but not being terribly accurate from the pocket, could they go to a Super Bowl? I'd go, no. Well, there went Carolina, rushing for Cam Newton is the goal line back, and you know, they spent money on a billion running backs, and they got to the Super Bowl, had a legitimate chance to win it. There's different ways to do it. And this way, I think, is plenty good enough. Are there weaknesses to it? Absolutely. Are there weaknesses to drop it back and throwing it 60 times by design? Absolutely. But I think it's I don't want to say outrageous. I think it's bad business to sit here and claim, because they're not good playing a certain way, which is from the pocket, throwing from behind, if they have to do that, that means there's no way they could just win three games in a postseason.
Well, there is a way, right? I just think that the chances of them going on a run this way are difficult and slim. It's not just Jackson, right? It's this whole style. It hasn't happened. There isn't a Super Bowl champion doing it this way, this, you know, predominant run, very little leaning on the pass for weeks at a time, because you don't have to. And you might have it, but it's not always easy to just go hit that button now and start to dial things up in crunch time. From a passing standpoint this year, Lamar Jackson was minus 0.6% in terms of expected completion margin, which means his completion percentage and what his completion percentage was expected to be based on the throws, okay? Mm-hmm. So his expected completion percentage was about 64.9. He was right at 64.3, so about minus 0.6. He's in range with guys like Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon and
not great.
Alex Smith and Tua Tagovailoa and Andy Dalton. Just as an example, the other quarterback in this game, Josh Allen, was plus 4.6%, meaning he completed 69%, based on the throws he made, he should have completed about 64.5. Maybe the arm strength, among other things, helping him. But he's with Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson as the leaders in the NFL in that category this year. Just to show those two quarterbacks in this game. Now, Allen, by the way, I mean, it's on. And to me, this is what you're looking for. There are a bunch of ways to do this. You can win an MVP award, you can be great, and ultimately, hopefully, win a Super Bowl Lamar Jackson's way. We haven't necessarily seen a quarterback as dominant a rusher as him win a title. I think it's coming. I think the league is changing. I think that will happen. I just think the margin for error makes it tough. It's hard to win, period, whether you're a pocket passer.
Right.
Or Aaron Rodgers has won. Drew Brees has won.
Drew Brees has won, yeah.
Those guys have been unbelievable for 20 years doing it the opposite way. Like, it's difficult. But I just think, let's say your chance of doing it if you're Aaron Rodgers year in and year out on good teams is 7 to 10% or whatever. Your chances doing it the other way maybe are 4%. It's hard. But to me, Josh Allen is what works. And that is, like Lamar Jackson, he can make plays with his feet. He is a dual threat. He's an athlete. But he's looking to throw first. And he's running to extend plays. Now, he's not running to scramble. He's not running to go get first downs or to take hits and run for yards. He's running to kind of reset his platform and throw. He had a really, really good game 2 weeks ago when they won. I thought he was fine in this game. Mm-hmm. Didn't do anything particularly mind-blowing, 206 yards and a touchdown. Their offense in general was very, very average, 220 yards, 55 plays, 4 yards per gain. They want a little bit more balance. They want to get a little bit more of a run, I'm sure, just to set some things up. But they got theirs with Stephon Diggs, 8 for 100. John Brown is back, 8 for 60. And they are on to the AFC Championship game because of Josh Allen. And in this one game, I would say because of their defense.
He's terrific. And I was completely wrong. Credit to you. You were 100% right. Through a year and a half, Josh Allen was not a good passer. And that's not hyperbolic. He was not good at throwing the football. He was inaccurate. Those completion numbers weren't there. The rating wasn't there, etc. Light bulb goes off. And basically the last down the stretch of 2019 and then this year, he was playing like an MVP candidate. And you add in that athleticism, as you touched on, where, yes, he can, if needed, be a goal line back and scramble for yards and pick up some back-breaking first downs when you think you got him in the grasp. But he can also extend some plays, throw from off angles, those weird throwing platforms, etc. There is not a throw that he can't make. And the mastery and comfort of this offense, where he now feels really, really, really comfortable, is something to watch. They didn't do much this past weekend. And I think, really, it was the weather. I really do. I think it was this wind. I think it was playing wreaking havoc with everybody.
Well, it was also Baltimore's defense. I mean, they're also playing
Baltimore's
great
defense. That's true. And especially the pass defense.
Wins. They're not going to move the ball a ton.
Right. I think that guy is spectacular and is going to win an MVP award sooner rather than later. But Buffalo's got something, and I think you touched on it. They punched above their weight class with their defense. Great plan. They said, we'll deal with whatever comes as long as Lamar Jackson doesn't beat us with his legs, and they executed to perfection.
Hey, we got this from Ian Rappaport just 1 minute ago. We've got a front runner for the GM job, according to Rap Sheet sources, and an interview that's ongoing with Ron Rivera. So we will give you that right at the top of the hour before the 5 at 5. I will tell you, this is not a surprising name, and I will also tell you, shocker, someone that Ron Rivera has worked with before.
You don't say.
We'll give you the deets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.